Hey, it's Melissa from Melissa in the Morning on WICC 600. And thanks for checking out the podcast right here. If you want, you can always subscribe, share, and like it. Hope to see you guys soon. Thanks. Connecting this morning with Bert Bernardi, who is the co-producer of Pantacino Productions in Milford. Bert, thanks for being here this morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on the show.
Absolutely. So first of all, for anyone who hasn't heard of Pantacino, what are you guys all about?
So we are Milford's ridiculously entertaining professional theater company specializing in performances for family audiences. We do original musicals. We have summer theater camps. We have a teen theater program. We do a cabaret series alongside the Milford Arts Council. And we are also in many schools right here in Milford and the surrounding towns.
It sounds like a blast. I loved theater camp when I was a kid. This is like so up my alley. How long have you guys been around?
So we're this fall we'll be starting our 10th season.
Wow, that's incredible.
We do all of our performances at the Milford Arts Council. That's the building that looks like a train station downtown. And our studios and rehearsal space are located in the Connecticut Post Mall.
That is awesome. I love that. Now, this concept I actually heard about from a former colleague of mine, Ted Coppe, who now is at NBC Connecticut. And I saw this pop up on his Facebook and I thought, this is a brilliant idea because let's face it, the pandemic has ruined a lot. And I'm sure it had an impact on you guys. First and foremost, what did you guys face with the pandemic?
Well, we had to cancel our spring productions. We had canceled two shows in March and in April. We lost all of the schools that we were doing shows with locally were not able to continue. We held Zoom rehearsals for a little bit, but we weren't able, the kids weren't able to actually perform the shows. So it was, we were sort of trapped and it was a really tough time to get through, like everybody faces. Mm-hmm. But, I'm really lucky in my household. My partner and my best friend, we share a home, and we were quarantined together. So I'm a director, writer, and an actor, and my partner is a costume designer and an actor. My other roommate is a musical director, composer, and an actor. So we were thinking of what we could do, and we saw how restaurants were offering curbside service, and we thought, let's do a curbside show. We wrote a 15-minute musical that the three of us perform. We come to your home, and we'll perform on your front yard or your back lawn. You sit on your front porch or back porch or whatever. We keep a safe social distance, and we have a great time, and it's been a wonderful idea for a birthday party or a special event, or sometimes it just be a family with a barbecue happening, and we provide some entertainment live and in person.
I love this. So first of all, bravo to all three of you. I think this is such a brilliant concept that I haven't really heard anybody else doing. So I love this concept. Now, how do you go about booking you guys? Because I have to imagine that you guys are still really busy. You have a lot going on.
We do. So on our website, pantacino.com, there's a little icon for Pantacino curbside on the homepage. You click on that, it'll tell you a little bit more about the show itself. And then there's a little form to submit. There's a show request. And you tell us when you'd like us to come, and we'll try to work that into our schedule. You know, if you say Saturday morning at 10, maybe we already have something, but we'll work in as soon after as possible. So, it's been great. And we've been through up to as far as Monroe, Trumbull, Stratford, Bridgeport, Fairfield, obviously Milford, West Haven, Orange. And this coming weekend, we have a bunch of shows on the shoreline in Guilford and Madison. So it's been fun.
That is so cool. What is it like for you guys to be performing on people's front lawns?
The first time we did it, it was just the craziest thing. It just felt so unusual. But it felt right. We really had such a good time performing it. And, getting the energy back from live people again, is just really rewarding, and seeing people laugh and smile, even if it's only for a short 15-minute little skit, was still really rewarding. We have a show coming up where the homeowner lives on the beach, so we'll be doing this in the sand. Now, that'll be a first.
There you go. I mean, a lot of firsts, I would imagine, for you guys. Again, we're talking to Bert Bernardi, who is the co-producer of Pantacino Productions, and talking about curbside theater shows. Now, I know, like you said, you were seeing curbside pickup for restaurants, and let's face it, everything has sort of become curbside, at least for the time being. And I'm just wondering, I would love to know from your perspective, you hear about what's gone on with Broadway. Broadway and the fact that they've shut things down until January, a lot of people would probably get discouraged, Bert. What sort of pulled you guys through and made you think, you know what? No, we're going to find a way. Where there's a will, there's a way.
Well, I think that's just it. You know, we couldn't just sit sedentary and not do anything. We had to figure it out. And I don't know, you know, what else we could possibly have done, but we just figured out we just have to do something. We can't just sit here at home and worry about when the next time we'll be on a proper stage will be. We have to create. We're used to that. We write 3 original musicals a year, and then we write 4 mini musicals for our summer camp. So we're always busy putting something together. And we just had to keep going. It's just, I don't know, it's something deep inside of the 3 of us that we felt like, what can we do? How can we make this happen?
Mm-hmm. And how long do you guys expect to do curbside theater shows for? Any idea?
Well, we're going to keep booking these, you know, while the weather's good. So, you know, I'm thinking into September, you know, maybe early October. And then, you know, we're actually working on something that I can't tell you about yet.
And that's where it ends. Oh, that's exciting. I mean, can people get these updates if they just sort of follow not just your website? It looks like you're all over social media as well.
Yes. Yeah. We're on Facebook and Instagram. And if you do journey onto our website, there's a little place to join our email list. And we promise not to clog your inbox with stuff. But once a month, you'll get an update as what's coming up. And when we do have shows, you get discount coupons and whatnot. So it's a great way to be in touch.
I love that. Well, Bert, thank you so much for taking the time to explain this. Thank you for being brilliant and coming up with such a great concept right now. I'm sure you are bringing a lot of smiles to people's faces. So thank you.
Oh, thank you so much. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too. Louis D'Amato is here. And Lou, you have been the talk of the town the last couple of days, my friend. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yes. Well, let's talk a little bit about, first of all, if you don't know Lou, he is part of D'Amato Brothers Builders, been around for 60 years. And recently, you put up a billboard on I-95. Let's talk about it. What does that billboard say?
It says that Christopher Columbus, the first Italian-American, welcomes you to Connecticut. Enjoy the Italian restaurants. The reason I did that is I own some shopping centers that have some Italian restaurants in it. But what I really wanted to do was catch the eye of the Italian Americans in this community to realize that if they don't speak up and they don't take these monuments that are on public property and put them on private property, that the history of Christopher Columbus is going to disappear. I feel badly about that because I know that there's things that were done and you know, at those times, the things were done by everybody. And I think the achievements by Columbus in his discovery of the Americas as a master navigator outweighs any of those other problems. I consider that to be very important. And that's what I'm trying to preserve. So that's the reason I put up the billboard.
Do you have you gotten any backlash for putting the billboards up?
Not really. No, there are some people who said that claimed they're Italian and that I shouldn't be speaking for them, and some issues like that. Nothing really bad. Listen, I understand the issues that are involved with the minorities in this country, and they need help. There's no doubt about it. And I'm not opposed to that. But I am opposed to them taking and destroying the credibility of the accomplishments of Columbus, who did things that sort of equate to the going to the moon, for instance. The guy, all he had was a compass and the stars. And not only did he get here, he got back. You know, when Columbus, there's a committee here in Milford, the Columbus Committee of 10 businessmen of Italian extraction. You know, when they first started talking about Columbus, they said he didn't even discover America. Well, listen, if he didn't, who discovered America? I mean, if they were here, they never told anybody, and they never certainly went back. They must have got lost on their way back. So, I mean, he is definitely the discoverer of America. So I think as children of immigrant parents, it's deserving that I speak up. Otherwise, my own conscience would bother me.
Right.
So that's why I put the billboard up.
No, and I think it's great that you're opening this, because I have found, even just from a reporter standpoint, that sometimes it doesn't seem like we're hearing both sides. We're certainly hearing protesters' sides, and we are hearing a little bit from the Italian-Americans who show up on site. But town after town, city after city, they are pulling these statues down. Now, Lou, my question to you is, there have been calls to bring down the Columbus statues, get rid of the Columbus Day celebration.
Yes.
That's been going on for years now. Have you felt this strongly the whole time, or is it stronger now because we're actually seeing statues come down?
That's right. I mean, I objected to it all along. And now that they're starting to deface the statues and pull them down and do all these nasty things, it's not right. It's not right. I mean, we certainly, decent people wouldn't do that. I mean, you know, you shouldn't act that way. I mean, it just creates more problems, and it doesn't do anybody any good, you know. So I firmly believe that at this point, the Italian community has to speak up and say, hey, enough is enough. And we got to get them off public property. That's the key.
Mm-hmm.
And the only recognition we're going to get is if these statues exist in various places in public, on private land. I think that that's the answer to this. So, you know, if a kid rides down the street and he says to his parents, hey, what's that statue? And I think the people ought to say, well, that's the guy who discovered America. Otherwise, it's gone. It's all gone. And they're not even teaching that in school any longer.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a problem.
Do you think, Lou, that is like a compromise situation of putting these statues on private property? Like, do you think that that's kind of the solution here? Because we have found that, you know, it's a lot of money, and that these statues date back decades, and that they're being graffitied. They're being, you know, some have been decapitated in Connecticut. You know, and I think a lot of this comes down to being able to respect each other's sides. And, you know, and you talk about the history books. There are parts of Christopher Columbus that never made it to our history books. And now it just seems like he's being almost deleted completely, which I think we should know both sides. We should know both sides of him. And I think that that might be eliminated. Do you think that the middle ground here is finding private property, or finding, you know, where we could put these statues where the Italian-American community could still be acknowledged and be respected, but also it's not a slap in the face to our African-American or even our the Native American groups that we have?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And that's our goal, is to remember this fella for what he did. And I'm sure, look, what went on in those days, everybody imprisoned everybody else. I mean, it was the nature of things. And, you know, the historians know more about it than I do. And some of the opinion letters I read in the Register seem to understand better what went on in those days than I do. I'm not trying to do anything with history. I'm not a history major, but I recognize that he's being abused. That's my feelings on the subject.
Well, Lou, I appreciate you putting that out there and having the conversation and sharing that this morning. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Melissa. Thank you very much.
Mayor Ganim, thank you so much for being here this morning. How are you?
I'm really good. Can you hear me?
I can. Can you hear me?
Oh, good. I can hear you. You sound lovely.
Oh, right back at you, my friend. We sound like a Verizon commercial. There you go. I can hear you now. Good. Sounds good.
Okay, Rowena's on too.
Oh, Ro. I'm so glad to have her here as well.
Good morning.
Good morning, Rowena. So let's jump right into this. We've got to talk about the Christopher Columbus statue coming down in Bridgeport. First of all, why did it come down without a heads up? And it seemed like the Italian-American community was completely thrown off by this.
Well, I don't know who was thrown off by it, but I am, I think, as you know, take some pride in my Italian heritage as well. My grandmother, Anna Di Bernardi, came and settled in Bridgeport almost 100 years ago. My mother's mother. And so this is not a anyone who wants to say, oh my God, everybody of Italian heritage is offended by this. Certainly they've got to understand, in a multi-ethnic, multi-racial community, eclectic, beautiful mosaic of people, that we've all got to kind of understand what's going on right now. there is a sensitivity over and above anything I've seen in the past with regards to the topic. We've seen statues toppled unlawfully, maybe, in other cities, defaced, beheaded. And regardless of the history, and I don't mean regardless of insensitivity, but today, the public safety aspects of it, the balancing of strong emotions and feelings over the topic, I think brought us to the point where you can't have 30 police officers stationed 24/7 to guard a statue when you get a priority one call across town, God forbid someone's shot. And all you need to do is turn on the news and see the challenges that other communities are having. And everybody's trying to do their best to address concerns, some of the outrage, certainly rightfully so, which I share, over the racism we've seen, whether it's police brutality, whether it's insensitivity. So I think there's a lot of reasons. But when you get to a point where it's public safety and respecting everyone's kind of perspective without having destruction of property and hopefully no incidents with confrontation, I think it was the right decision and need to move forward from here. Now, there's a lot of opportunity from here to go forward, and people that are active and feel strongly, as many of us do, have an opportunity to come together, and I hope that would be the next step.
Mm-hmm.
So there were people talking before over periods of time. There was a lot of discussion about taking the statue down. And then we saw things, especially most recently in Waterbury. I'm not sure I got it through the news report.
Yeah, Waterbury with the decapitating.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. So other cities are. We've seen. I think the statue in New Haven was approached by I don't know how many. I don't want to exaggerate, but certainly hundreds of people.
Mm-hmm.
Hartford as well, and across the country. Look, this is not. These are very difficult times, and I think we have an obligation as kind of leaders on all levels, community leaders, elected officials, people that stand up and as voices for a perspective, the Italian community, Black Lives Matter, just citizens at large,
mm-hmm.
to be respectful, and then to try and, in this case, to try and take the right perspective on this. So the statue's taken down. It is put away so that and there can be further discussion on it, and I look forward to that. But these are things that are happening all across the country right now, some even across beyond, across the globe.
Absolutely,
so
yeah.
Pandemic,
yeah.
In the midst of strains and issues with which would have been normal between, let's just even say, people and points of view, it's a very difficult they're a very difficult decision. So I'm apologetic to anybody who feels offended by this. There was never an intent to offend. And certainly, again, I take pride in my Italian heritage as part of my ethnicity as well.
Mm-hmm.
And want to work with everyone as we go forward.
Sure. So the only thing, Mayor Ganim, is we had Chris Caruso on our show yesterday, and the reason I was kind of bringing this up is because he sent what looks like a document where he said it almost changed within hours. And in the document, it says, you know, that we decided not to pursue the removal of Christopher Columbus. And I think that's where there's a little bit of a miscommunication from some people in the city who said that they've been having talks about this for 3-4 weeks and that the statue came down. And I'm just wondering from you, was there something in particular that happened? Like, did you get a threat? Did we hear about something in particular? Like in Norwalk, very similar, Harry Rilling decided, I'm taking this down because there were threats coming in that protesters were going to destroy their statue. So it came down at 9 o'clock at night. And I'm just wondering, is that the same kind of thing we saw in Bridgeport?
Well, there were an outreach by the police department, I would just put it generally, the last, whatever it was, few days. But even before that, I think the week before, if it was a week before, and then right through the 4th of July weekend, and there were, I'm making up a number, but maybe 20 or 30 police officers assigned, almost, I can't say 24/7, but for extended periods of time, while there's strains, with, and you'll get calls on this if we open the lines, firecrackers, fireworks going
sure.
around the city, spot shotter going off the hook, so to speak. It's not completely unusual around the 4th of July to have a combination of these two, but this year has been an enormous strain. I don't want to say inconvenience on residents. It's more than that when you have fireworks going off. Please try to respond to that. On top of everything else in a hot summer, putting aside organized or somewhat sometimes unpermitted but organized demonstrations, which require, again, a strain on essential services, police and fire trying to do a yeoman's job, saving lives. So there's a whole variety of things. I'm sure this is what you want me to tell you, so I'm telling you that. And, yes, there was contact by the police department repeatedly about concerns, the inability to protect property, which would have been a far worse result than the deliberate removal of the statue, as opposed to somebody cutting its head off, spray painting it, or those type of things. And that's mm-hmm. the kind of stuff we were confronted with. So I hope people understand that. Again, I and I think everybody in this city needs to understand and recognize and respect that this is a multi-ethnic community that we want, and I want every citizen to have respect for each other. I don't care if you know you're part Italian or what your ethnicity is, and there's some deep feelings on this. So I look forward to further dialogue because the story's not over on that. I think mm-hmm. we need to look at constructive ways to use this as a turning point, whether it's with Chris or others that want to have a bigger and broader conversation.
Yeah,
I don't know who,
I like that.
And involve everyone so that we can understand not only our past, where we are today,
mm-hmm.
which is a point in history, and how we can constructively, what I'd like to see is how we constructively move forward with things that are maybe compromises, but in a way that we show the best in us
mm-hmm.
as a city and as a community and beyond that. So
yeah, and
that.
Mayor Ganim, any idea where the statue's going? Because I'm hearing rumors that it may go to Shelton.
Yeah, there's always rumors about
Well, Mayor Loretti, I think, had said that he was debating bringing it to Shelton. So I just didn't know if that's something that you've heard about yet.
Well, I don't know if he was going to do that or he was going to run for mayor of Bridgeport. It's hard to keep track of Mark. But he's a good guy, and I'm sure he likes to make the news, and he'll probably try to make the news on this. So, but I respect Mark. He's a good mayor. He does a good job up there, and as do a lot of the communities. Everybody, especially the bigger cities, are – I think you said Mayor Rilling, Mayor Brownan in Hartford,
mm-hmm.
Mayor Ellicker in New Haven, Mayor O'Leary in Waterbury, Mayor, most of the big cities us communicate on a regular basis.
Yeah.
We have similar challenges, and we're trying to do a good job and appreciate the support that we get, even when we make difficult and sometimes unpopular to certain groups' decisions. So we appreciate that.
Sure, absolutely. Well, Mayor Joe Ganim, I really appreciate it. I know I've taken up your time this morning.
No,
and
don't go, because I think we got a lot of calls in the office of whether we touch on Bassac High School.
Yes, let's talk about Bassac High School, because this was something that I think you said in your first term you had been working on the future of the high school, and now here we are. Some plans are in place, and it involves the campus of the University of Bridgeport. Talk to us about it.
Out of the park. Home run as a location. Finally, I called it historic. Our state legislative delegation worked hard to get the funding for this, or a majority of the funding. The city, of course, and the Board of Ed are committed to the balance. But finding a location so that we can move forward that provides the best opportunity, I think, went well beyond what we could have expected. On a now what's going to be a multi-university campus located on basically on Long Island Sound, you know, not on the property, but on the University of Bridgeport campus. I just creates an opportunity for young people, not just in a state-of-the-art $100 million new facility, similar to what Harding it looks like. And I think people realize that our Harding now arrival, at least as a physical building, any commitment to physical structures for high school education anywhere in the state, Bassac's going to meet or exceed that finally. And so, you know, I feel bad because there's so many young people that have gone through and waited for this and graduated. But the thing is, we're getting it done now, finally.
Mm-hmm.
And you said 20 years is probably all that. And what always drove my commitment, and I know others too, and the list will be too long of how many people kind of put their hand in to get us to this point, is the lack of even a basic football field for Bassac.
Yes.
And,
mm-hmm.
and they were talking about, well, let's keep it on the same site. Let's put it on the roof, which would have been innovative, but I don't know how it would have worked. looked at other industrial sites that had environmental problems. And then someone raised their hand and said, what about there's a beautiful brand new field right next to some parking lots on the University of Bridgeport campus, which is being innovative with other colleges and looking at what they need to do. And it created an opportunity. I think what's unique about this is not only did we get it off the dime finally, but rarely see, we just talked about disagreements over a decision. I've never seen where so many people from different perspectives, I think unanimously members of the Board of Education, I think unanimously the building committee, I'm saying this without having taken a head count, the administration, the principal, the superintendent, economic development people, all saying, wow, this is the right decision, let's move ahead on it. So the unanimity on that, I think, is very loud about what a good decision for so many everyone who made it, but also what it's going to provide for the young people for the future.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And before I let you go, any idea when this is going to be happening, when it's going to be done?
Well, that was my question earlier in the week. It's great. We all love the announcement, you know, and then 10 minutes later, some of us, all of us, I think, have the same obligation. Okay, who's putting their shoulder to the wheel here to make sure this is the point person, to make sure that we get a timeline, a cost estimate, and a visual of a facility that's going to get us there so we can cut a ribbon. And I look forward to that. We'll have further updates on that as we go along.
All right. I'm going to hold you to it. Bridgeport Mayor Joe Ganim, thank you so much. I really appreciate it,
thank you.
I know I'll talk to you soon.
I think we're going on at 12:30, though, according to my communications department.
Oh, you are?
We're going on at 12:30. So I put that out there. I'm getting the opportunity to do that. I think we're going to talk about COVID at that point.
Perfect.
The governor's pause on phase 3. I want people to be reminded that we're doing really good, but mm-hmm. we can't let our guard down on this thing and see what's happening around the country. So we need to work together on that.
That's awesome. Okay. I will. Do our bosses know that? Because you guys run live here.
You know what?
Not yet.
Okay, not yet. Thank you, Rowena. Yeah, because I'll.
They think as mayor that I know what's going on. They tell me what to do. They're gonna. I think so. I'll find out in a little while, but I'm pretty sure, and we'll let you know.
Okay, that's what I figured. I know I'm in the same boat as you, though, Mayor. I wait to get direction from all the engineers, and then I just say, okay, press buttons. We'll do it. All right, sounds good, Mayor. Again, thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye bye.
All right.
Bye-bye.